All right, this evening we're going back to Mountain Moving Faith. It's been a while, but we're back into our teaching. Now, if you remember the last time we were teaching, we were talking about righteousness, on the subject of righteousness, and talking about how important it is righteousness. We had read from Romans, one of the things we talked about, and we had read scriptures in Romans, the third chapter, in verse 21 and 22, but it says, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference." Praise God. You know, Jesus Christ, He died and was raised from the dead, really from the area to put us in a righteous position with God. Righteousness, you know, we could go through technical definitions, but righteousness just means to be really, in its basic form, is to be made right or to be right. And, you know, really, it's one of the things as man has always struggled with, the fact to be right with God. And man, in our state, from the standpoint of sin, we could never be right with God. And through Jesus Christ, through the new birth, we became right with God. Through the new birth, man is born again or recreated in the image of God. And now man has God's own righteousness. And so you and I can come before God. And dealing with the areas of faith, it is so important to understand if righteousness is what gives you the ability to stand in the presence of God or come to God and pray and ask for something, and you can believe that He'll do it for you. If a person feels that they're not right with God, there is no way that they're going to have confidence to come to God. You're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have that. And so that's what God did in Christ Jesus. He made men righteous. And we read about the gift of righteousness. In other words, it's that righteousness is something we're supposed to receive. And what do? We receive it by believing it's true, that God gave you and me His righteousness so we could approach Him. You know, lots of times the great debate in Christianity is always on this area. Well, you know, we don't really deserve it and blah, blah, and that means nothing. It matters not if you and I deserve any of it. It doesn't matter if we deserve it. God gave it. Salvation was given to us freely by God. God determined to do it. He said, the Bible says, He sent Christ before the foundation of the world. So God's plan to send Jesus, He had planned it before the world began. So that's what He wanted to do. Before you and I were ever even created in this earth, before any human was on the face of the earth, God, because He is God, knew the future. He knew man would sin. He had already planned to buy man back and make man His children and make this mankind, He was going to give them His righteousness. He had decided that. So there's no reason to fight it. There's no reason to sit around and go through some great intellectual thinking on it to figure it out or try to understand it. It's very simple. He's given the gift. How it was all done, that, you know, you don't even have to know about that to enjoy it. I don't have to know how money is made to be able to spend it. I don't have to know how a printing press works that they make these bills. You don't have to. But Christianity gets into all this intellectualism, and we don't have to, because all it leads to is unbelief. And so just accept the fact that God made you righteous, because it'll give you boldness and confidence in God when you approach Him in your prayer and your fellowship. It's just the idea, you know, how many times I've had Christian, you know, people that got born again, but after a period of time, they're, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't feel like this or that. What happens is they get over, start living off their feelings instead of what's true in the Word of God. You come back over, the Word says that I'm righteous, I'm a child of God, and start, this is what I am. You know, I wonder if I'm saved. I don't wonder if I'm saved. I don't have to wonder 2 seconds if I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I did what the Bible said. I'm a child of God. And the Bible says I'm righteous. Do you feel righteous? Not a bit. I don't care if I feel righteous. It has nothing to do with nothing. It's what God has done, and God declared me righteous, and He declared you righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. So I would just encourage you to enjoy it. and because there's one thing about it, because we're going to go into the responsibility that we have in the position of righteousness that we stand. There's a responsibility in it. But we need to understand this is no man will ever meet the responsibility till he knows the position he stands in. You can't do that. You have to understand the position you stand in. One of the things that I found out is, and let's just say, you know, in life, no matter in life of whatever we do, whatever, like say, if, like on jobs, people, we get jobs and we're putting on a position in a job, whether it's from management to whatever it is in a place we work. You're putting in a position, and that position you're in, certain responsibilities come with that position. Well, no one can ever perform that job or will perform the job as well as they can without being understanding the position that they're in. And that's why we teach on righteousness, and you understand the righteousness. It gives you boldness, confidence toward God, because you have to understand that. One of the greatest reasons is why is the sloppy grace that's taught today really overrides all the things concerning righteousness, and people don't understand the position that they're in. They're just told they're old sinners saved by grace, and so God just don't look at you. He can't look at you as sin. When they talk about being under the blood, they have the idea that you're under the blood because God can't look at you because He looks at us through the blood. I remember hearing that teaching when I first came into the kingdom, and people would say, oh, see, God looks at us through the blood. No, He does not. God can look at me just as a spiritual being, just created after His image. He don't have to look, I'm still so ugly. And see, what they do is they don't teach you. They talk about, you know, we're supposed to live a right life, but you're a scumbag. You know what scumbags live like? Scumbags. If you believe you're just, you know, this old sinner saved by grace, you're going to live like an old sinner saved by grace. You know, you're going to practice the sin. And so this is why, as we teach these things, if we want to understand the position that we're in and where God has called us to, we understand that position because there's responsibilities, just like, you know, I said it, like on a job, but there's certain responsibilities, and if you understand the responsibility of your job, and it's like I found out in life, like say the more you moved, like say in the ladder toward leadership, there was greater responsibilities that you receive because of the position you stand in, so you were required of more things. But you need to understand it. Like a lot of people, you think, oh, they require more of you. Yes, but you were given more, and so, and you're, and understand the job, the requirements of the job may have been more, but you were in a position to be able to make a lot different decisions. You were given the authority. They didn't say, we require more of you, but we're going to give you less authority. Now, that'll never work. No, they give you more authority in your position so you could do that job and stand in that office. So I never found, I didn't think like they said, well, being in leadership is harder. I didn't think it was harder being in leadership. I thought the people had a hard time with the guys down at the bottom because they always wanted to tell the leaders what to do and had no authority. And yet they'd say, I don't want all that responsibility. Well, if you don't want the responsibility, what are you trying to tell them what to do for? Because they run hand in hand. And to me, I liked the responsibilities. They didn't bother me because if you were given the position and you could actually do the things, well, you could handle the responsibility. You could do that. It would be dumb to do it. Well, we need to understand it's the same way. And this is why it's in teaching. There is a responsibilities that go with the position that we stand in. And the church needs to understand these. And, you know, in the book of Ephesians, we're going to go over there. I'm going to read a scripture there, but in the book of Ephesians, if you read chapters 1, 2, and 3 of the book of Ephesians, those tell us really of our position that we have in Christ Jesus. The first three chapters in the book of Ephesians tell us the positions that we were given in Christ Jesus. If you start off in Ephesians, it tells us, you know, blessed in every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It tells us, you know, all this wonderful stuff that, you know, God did for us in Christ. All these wonderful things about inheritance and all this stuff. You go down through the prayers that Paul prayed for the church and everything. It has all to do with our position of who and what we are in Christ Jesus. Well, starting in chapter 4 to the end of the chapter deals with our responsibilities in this position. We do have responsibilities, but understand, he told them their position, what they sat in and what they were, told them who and what they are in the position that they sit in. And this is why the responsibilities or what we're supposed to do is not some great tedious thing. Because of what we were given, we can do it. The church can do it. The church can walk in these things. But we need to understand these things because, understand, our walk will affect, you know, is going to affect our performance in what we do. You know, it doesn't matter if God considers you guiltless if you don't consider you guiltless. It doesn't matter what God said on the subject. You're going to have a terrible time approaching God if you have shame. And so this is one of the things of our walk. Our own walk can cause us a great problem. And it's not the devil. And it's not God. It's us. And so we need to understand stand in these areas. Now, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, when Paul, you know, goes through the first three chapters telling them all these wonderful things about what they are, Paul then says in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in the first verse, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, understand, when he wrote them this, he didn't write this to, like, say, ministers. This is written to all Christians. And he told them their wonderful position that all of them have in Christ Jesus. Everybody has this wonderful position, this wonderful call of God, this what God put us at. Above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that's named. Not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. All this glorious stuff. But he said now, there's a walk that we have. In other words, in this life, if you haven't noticed, you have a physical body and there's a physical life that we live. And that physical life that we live in this earth is called our walk. It's what we do with what we are. And we need to get that. It's what we do with what we are. Now, we have a position. Now, our position, and we need to understand this, in this life, you may not seem what the Bible says you're a king and a priest. Now, you're going to find this. They probably won't recognize that at work. and people that you're around. But God says you are. Now, the Bible says all these one. Bible says that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says all these wonderful things. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're co-heirs with Christ. Now, all these wonderful things. In the natural, it might seem like, you know, I work someplace and I just push a broom. You know, maybe that's all I do is I clean up. But that's not what the Bible says you are. Now, one of the things in life, I want to live, even if I'm pushing a broom, I want to live like I'm a king and a priest. I want to live that out on that job. I want to do that. I want to walk and live to a standard of what I am. And see what we're doing. This is where faith is involved, because this is where faith really comes in, is living what it doesn't seem that you are, but you truly are, because the Bible says you are. Now, one day, when Jesus comes and you and I get hauled out of here, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to find out you are all that he said. And you're going to get to live that physically all the time. But here we live it by faith. Right here in this place. So righteousness must be lived out here. And really, people need to understand this. When we deal with faith, there is no such thing as faith just being a confession. That's one of the things that people get over. Faith is a confession, but it's not only a confession. Faith is actions. The things we do, it's not enough for us to just have a confession. It's not enough for me to say that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because really, where the things really pay off is when we live like it's true. That is faith in action. That's real faith in action. And that's what we do. You know, we're just, you know, dealing here in the areas with Conrad. You know, Conrad, you know, say, well, you know, he even though he's in pain, he said, I believe I'm healed. Now, there's no natural sense to that. There isn't any natural sense to it, but it's perfectly sensible spiritually. Perfectly sensible spiritually. So he makes a confession. His actions, he's making actions. You know, he's not just, sitting around, I'm not going to do anything, I'm not going to, you know. He's making actions. Those actions and things fortify his faith. That's what fortifies your faith. Talk alone will not fortify your faith. Just talking, you have to have actions to it. Now, faith, now speaking things is a type of action, saying the right things. But start to doing the right things. Start acting like it's true. You know, just as one of the things is, you know, going through something, you know, difficult, and you believe that God's giving you whatever it is that you ask Him for, acting like it's true. You know, get a smile on your face like it's yours. Instead of sitting around, oh, I don't understand it. Yeah, I'm trusting God, you know. Really what happens is people aren't. But Paul made this. He said, I'm beseeching you. Or in other words, hey, look, I'm earnestly saying this to you guys. And here's what he told them, all this wonderful stuff in the first three chapters. And then he says, look, I'm beseeching you guys, walk worthy of the calling. In other words, let your life be worthy of what you are. You live like the king and the priest. Live like you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Live like that. Live a life. Walk a life like that. And that's what that's all he's saying is, do that. You know, let's live in that manner. Let's live in that same manner. See, it's one thing is I always, you know, when I would sit down and I always would look at Paul's writings and that stuff, and I'd always think about, especially Paul's prison letters. You know, I think, my God, this man acted better than prison than people do outside of jail. Christians outside of jail have a harder time in life than he did in. And they, if they ever had to go to a prison like he was in his day, it wasn't like the prisons today. I always think about that with the Apostle Paul. There he was, you know, he's living in this place. And yet, he has constantly kept himself a good attitude. He hasn't got over into the areas where he's, you know, he's all bummed out and blown out, you know, what's going on and things, what all these things that are happening. And but he said he told them to walk worthy. So with this position comes a responsibility. In 1 Thessalonians, if we go over to the 1 Thessalonians, to the second chapter, in Paul's writing here to the church at Thessalonica, he makes a statement concerning himself, because we want to find out, because Paul's not telling you to do something he didn't do. In other words, you know, we need to understand this. It'd be one thing he'd tell us, live right, but I don't. You know, you live right. But he said to the church at Thessalonica on the 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, he said, you are witnesses in verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So he said, look, you guys saw that we walked right, or we did what was right. We lived right in front of you guys. See, this one, the right kind of life, or living the right kind of life. That's one of the great problems we've dealt in the church world as a whole today, is that's one of the great problems because of the sloppy grace. If grace is taught and leads people to live worse lives, they're teaching lies. Grace, true grace taught biblically, will lead you to live a better life, not a worse life. It will not say you can sin in it. Yeah, don't worry, you know, well, God will forgive you. That is so frivolous. Like, just go ahead and do it. He'll forgive you. I mean, that's terrible, you know? You know, I'd always forgive my kids, but if I found out my kids were doing stuff just because they just didn't want to listen, yeah, I'd forgive them, but I'll tell you, it was hell till it came. We need to know this. The church world has really, in so many ways, slapped God in the face over redemption in Christ. As true grace is taught, it causes us to live better. And Paul says, look, you guys, we came here in front of you guys. We lived right. Now you live right. You know, you do it too. Live right. And see, there's a walk of life, because, you know, lots of people in life, loads of times I find, you know, with Christians, that a lot of problems that they go through because of the way they live their lives. Well, they believe all the right things, but that ain't what they're living. It's not mimicked in their life, what they say they believe. It's not mimicked. You know, there's one thing, as I've found, when God becomes real to you, and God's real, and you think, you know, people say, oh, is God everywhere? Oh, yeah, God's everywhere. Yeah, well, when are you going to live like it's true? You're living like you don't see at all what's going on or all what's happening. We're living like, you know, it don't exist. And see, this is one thing. We know what stuff says, but we talk about, I believe that that's true. Well, if believing doesn't go to action, then there's a great problem. There's a big problem. There's somewhere, there's a gap here. Something's missing. And so it comes down to it becoming a reality where something's real. You know, you would never say a husband or wife, if they would cheat on their mate, if they thought their mate was everywhere, would they... Now think about it. Would they? They wouldn't be, you know, they could see me wherever I go. I'm going to cheat, they won't know it. Sure. They wouldn't be cheating on anybody. Now would they? But see, with God, when God doesn't become a reality to people, And we can know what the Scripture says about things and say, well, we believe that that's true, but it's not a reality. Things need to become where they live. Or, you know, God sees and knows. God sees and knows things. Because it goes on the other side. That same person will approach prayer the same way. They won't really believe God hears them and listens to them. They won't really believe it. See, it's all tied together. If I'm not living like He's alive and sees what's going on, my prayer life's identical to that. I'm praying like He really does. I'm trying to, you know, maybe if I can yell loud enough, get a big microphone and a big pair of speakers, maybe we can scream loud enough to get Him out there wherever it is, heaven is, and we'll, you know, it'll reverberate the gates of heaven and maybe we can get Him to listen to me. But it's not believing really that God is real, is true, that He's actually there. Paul tells us that speaks about, we behaved a certain way among you people. And now, really, this is the way you live amongst each other. This is what you do, and this is the life that you live. You have this kind of walk yourself. Do these kinds of things. So that's what he's telling. He's telling them, this is the way we conducted ourselves. So conduct yourself in the same manner. And in Colossians, the first chapter, again, Paul talks about the walk of life, of living a right kind of life. In Colossians, the first chapter, we're going to look at verse 9, Colossians, the first chapter. It said, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, first thing they prayed and asked, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, His idea, He wanted them. Now, first of all, here's one thing. Because, well, let's say, verse 10, He says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. If you're not filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, it would be impossible that you could walk worthy of the Lord. See, if you wouldn't know what to do, you couldn't. So, He's telling them, I'm praying that you know that. The purpose, understand, the purpose that really Paul's telling them, the purpose to know the Word and to know what God's wisdom is, and the reason we were given the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, He's the teacher. He takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. The reason the Holy Spirit was put into you and I, the first and foremost thing, is you and I can live according to what He teaches. It is of no value, it's of no value to have the Holy Spirit in us, teaching us, if we're not going to live what He teaches. It's not any value. It's to live what He teaches. So what the Holy Spirit teaches, and you need to understand this, that the Word of God can practically be lived. There's no such things as, well, this is spiritual and this is physical, this is a spiritual. See, this is what people do. They'll say all over, well, that's seated in heavenly places. That's talking about spiritual stuff. No, I'm going to tell you what, I can live in this earth. It'll affect my walk if I believe I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If I truly believe that, I'm going to live a different manner of life. If I believe that I'm sitting in the authority of heaven itself, it's going to make a total difference how I live here. But see, the church has taken all this stuff and made spiritual, and this is, we can do this, but this is for this over here. And what they're doing, they take anything important in the Word and they throw it away. That's what they're doing. They throw it away. So yeah, that's really nice. That's nice that, you know, you made a king and a priest. That's really nice, but you got to wait till you die and go to heaven to get it. Well, if it is, then let's tear those pages out of the Bible and throw them away. We don't need them. Don't tell me I'm a king and a priest. If it doesn't value me here, I have no need to know it. I have no need to know it. Do it. What's the good? Hey, I can get the books out when we get there. They can tell us that stuff. But I want what I need here. And you know what? This is the book and the stuff that's in the book we need here, because it will affect our life right here, right now. So he said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Why? So being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Him. He went on to say, being fruitful in every good work. In other words, this walk we have produces things. This walk will produce things in our life. It produces fruit. The walk will produce things in our life. So this is why we need to understand. When we have the right confession and we have the right walk, it's producing things. He said, why? And increasing in the knowledge of Him. Do you want to know why some people never increase in the knowledge of God? Because they never walk right. If a person doesn't walk right, they don't need more knowledge. We only need, look, we need information if we're going to do it. If we're not going to do it, there's no point of more information. I remember I learned this from Kenneth Hagin when I was a young Christian. He said, on a couple occasions, I had some tapes at that time, back years ago, and he made the statement. He said, if you're going to a place and all of a sudden it just seems like God don't talk to you, you're not getting revelation things. He said, you back up to the last thing God told you to do and you start acting on that. He said, what do he tell you to do and you ain't doing? He said, if God's put things in your heart to do and you haven't done them, he said, you'll find that you'll get to the place where you don't get new revelation. You know, God don't reveal things to you. Because why? There's no point in revealing. If you're not going to use what he's given you, why give more? You know, why do any more? There's no point to it. If a child is not going to learn to add, subtract, and multiply and divide, it's going to be totally useless to try to teach them physics. You wouldn't even bother with it. Well, it's the same way spiritually. If God has things and he's teaching us, there's things we must learn and know how to use before he can give you something more, because what he would give you more wouldn't even make any sense to you if you haven't used what you got. It wouldn't work. And so knowledge will stop. And we need to understand that. Paul's really teaching a progression to people here in this thing about the walk and why walk. He said, I pray that God fills you with the knowledge of his will, all wisdom and spiritual understanding. For this purpose, you can walk worthy of the Lord. You can fully please God. So you'll be fruitful. All this stuff that you're walking in and living, it's going to produce fruit. Hallelujah. Why? So God can reveal more to you. That's what it's about. So it's like anything. In this natural world, we do the exact same thing. You know, people that don't want to, you know, learn and go through, you know, regular school and that stuff, we don't want to send them to college if they don't want to go to, I mean, it'd be stupid. Yet somehow it has this idea that in this world, the world got all these bright ideas, but God don't work by any of this stuff. His over don't matter, you know. In his, he'll just tell you things whether you do anything or not, because, you know, he might choose to or he don't choose to or whatever. It just seems like when you get over to the Christian realm and over into the spiritual realm, there becomes no rules in the church. There's no rules to it. But I want to tell you what, there's rules to everything and how it operates. It all has rules. And the most amazing thing you'll find out, that most of the systems on the earth operate in somewhat in God's rules that he has first established. You know, all the foundations of education, they always get off and do really dumb things, our educators today. But the foundation, true foundations of all education came from how the scriptures, came from how the Bible works, how God's kingdom operates. That's where it comes from. And you can't get it any other way. And so realizing that, just and always think about that way. Why do you want to practice things? You know, like sometimes people don't like it. They're like, you know, I'm going through certain things in life. Just take a few. You sit down in life, and all of us have done this. We went to school, and we were taught a lot of things, and we were taught a lot of things maybe we never even ended up using in life as we go along. And what happened to those things that we didn't use? We pretty well forgot them, didn't we? Somebody asked you, they say, oh, yes, I remember being taught, you know, ancient history, and but I can't remember that Roman guy's name. You don't remember because you don't use it. I mean, at the time you went through, you may have taken the test and did real good, but you don't remember them. But it's the things of God. If you don't put things into practice and don't use them, you will not remember them. And see, what some people don't understand, we face things in life, or we come along, and when people face challenges in life, lots of times people don't realize that this is a wonderful time to practice and use the things we have. So many people have the idea that if we come to a place of really great faith, we are not going to have or face challenges. I want to tell you what, whether you realize it or not, you need to face challenges. You need to be able to face things where you have to use the things that you have in Scripture. You need to use them. It's like taking tests in school. You know, I learned this, that you have to have testing. You have to have it. Because you'll never know what you have works unless you get to put it to work. You would never know. Learn to do this with yourself. Learn to develop tests yourself. Tests for yourself. You know, like in Sunday, you know, and I made mention about the fact there's things, and I have said this over numbers of times, there's things in life that I could have maybe gone out and bought or paid for or done, but I just decided I put a test out for myself to use my faith to bring that in to, so I could develop more in that area. So I put a test out in that area to do that. And you have to learn to do that. You have to learn to test. If you don't ever talk, say you don't like tests. I don't, you know, most people need to know that, you know, in life, they ought to do more testing on people and stuff. It would do people so much better. Because, you know, I don't understand. Testing proves one thing, whether I've learned what I'm supposed to or not. That tells me. I can tell by how I go through things, whether or not I need to get sharper in it or not. How would you know if it was never used? You find out. And in this life, we find out. I always thought about it. First, I remember when Kenneth Hagin, he said, when the Lord spoke to him one time in a vision and said this to him, I allowed you to go through certain things in life that you went through. He said, I allowed you to. He said, so you could teach people faith. About 10 years ago, the Lord spoke to him the same thing to me. He said, I allowed you to go through things, he said, so you could teach people faith. He said, you're qualified to teach people faith. He said, many ministers are not qualified to teach faith. They know nothing about it. You know, you're not qualified to teach anything you don't live. You're not qualified to tell anybody you don't live because you don't know if it works. Now think about it. See, going through things, God was very strict on me about faith. God was very strict on me about faith. He put me through things I found to be very, very difficult. But to learn to practice, to keep myself focused, you want to maintain a walk. You want to learn to maintain a walk because that when pressures come, you can't be the fall apart person. If you're the fall apart person, it ain't going to work. It's not going to work. You know, I mean, there's times I just wanted to go scream. My flesh just wanted to, you know, and it was challenging. You know, the things like during the times, like I tell, like, you know, the stories during the times, you know, with like Wanda and I and that stuff with the kids. And, you know, God would not allow me at times to take my kids to the doctor. Would not allow me. He would make me stand in faith. Man, I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something in the natural. God knew this, though, about me. He's wondering. It's never bothered me much about what I go through. I can stand through things and that stuff. But it bugs me if Wanda and the kids, that was a hard one for me. I didn't like to see them going through nothing. And it seemed like the devil, he understood that, and he would target them on things. But I had to learn this, that I became unmoved. I had to learn to become unmoved concerning my wife and kids, to stand in faith and not let my flesh dominate me by what was happening to them. I had to learn to stand. I had to learn to stand, trust God. You know? I mean, that morning when Lissa had fell and had that concussion, and Wanda was up all night. And I only slept a few hours, and I got up in the morning, and the Lord spoke to me that morning. He didn't. He spoke like a father to a son. He expected to do something. He wasn't poor old Ed, and I'm really sad to see you guys going through this. I'll never forget walking in the bathroom, and I went in the bathroom, brushed my teeth, shaved, and stuff. I remember going in there, and he rebuked me for not standing in faith. He said, "You're watching what's going on," and he said, "You're not walking by faith." I want you to understand, if he had dealt with me the way that he had, I couldn't stand here and teach you this stuff. I wouldn't know a thing about it. I wouldn't know nothing. I'd be telling you to do something I wish I could. And I'll never forget him telling me that, stand there. That same day, Wanda called at work. Liz is throwing up blood. The whole time I'm thinking, God's telling me to stay. He's talking to me. He ain't talking to her. He's talking to me. And I'm thinking, why aren't you talking to her? She needs help. And I'm like, I can't say anything. If I say something, I'm going to say the wrong thing to her. I can't talk to her. I'm going to give her, I got to maintain myself in this thing. Because, you know, we need a miracle. And I can't get in the flesh about this thing. I got to get over here and stand. He's telling me to stand. But when she talks to me, I said, Lord, what is going on? He said, I thought you believed she was healed this morning. See, I don't understand these people talking about this peachy God that's always going, oh, you cute little thing, you nice little thing, I love you. I know He loves you. You know why? I know it more than anybody because He rebukes me. And the Bible says God rebukes the one He loves. I never read where it says He says you're cute and all that because He loves you. It says He rebukes you, and I've been rebuked. And I used to think it was unfair because I would get rebuked in the hard spots. But you know what? I knew inside that He wasn't against. He's trying to get me to a place. He's trying to get me to somewhere where I can trust Him with anything. Most people will never go very far because they can never trust God with their family. That's the start. I'm just going to tell you, that's the place. Is there anything that I have seen and I've watched over the years with ministers? Most ministers can't trust God with their family. They have never allowed God to work with them in that area. They don't learn to do there, that place. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the place. Because you know what? When I knew God could take care of my family, I started believing He could almost do anything. He could almost, wow. Because why I'm saying this is because you've got to live around your family. That's your everyday walk around your family. And if you can't live in faith in that place, it gets to be hell out there in all the rest. You know, everybody's home needs to be their castle. When you live out in this world, you walk through the dirt, out there doing the day on the job, but you can't come home and have a house of dirt. You can't have the place at home and a place of turmoil. That's hard because you come home, you have no place of rest. Monda and I, we made our house our castle. It's a place we know. It isn't we always were just sweet to each other all the time and did the right thing, but I'll tell you what, we knew no matter what happened when you came home, we were going to love and take care of each other. We weren't going to put each other out. We're sold on this thing. And that, you know, our home was our house, it was our strong place. No matter what happens out there, I can come home, they like me. Ain't nothing worse than living out there in a place, in a world where they don't like you, and you come home and they don't like you. There's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse. You come home, the devil's running the house. Where do you get peace and where do you ever get rest at? You don't. See, it's like the body of Christ. That's why I feel so bad with Christians. They don't stay hooked in the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, that's where we're supposed to look after each other. That's, you know, go to church on Sunday morning, that's a place of rest. That's a place we go praise God. This is Christians. God gets together with us. This is our thing here. I don't know what they're doing out there, and I don't even care. In here, this is where God's working, you know. God's doing this. We're here tonight. This is God. This is His thing and His group. And this is we coming. Praise God. It's God here. And see, that's you have to have that. And you know how many people don't have that? Home as much hell as it is out there. And that's hard. That's hard living, man. That's hard stuff. That's terrible. And so that's why God taught me about my family. I had to learn to let God work in my family because if He didn't, it would have never been a place at home of rest. It wouldn't have been rest there. And that's why He spent so much time teaching me in that area of training me over where I could turn around and trust Him, the family. He would take care of stuff. Because if He didn't, I would have never done His will. Because I found out with most people, they can't ever do the will of God because they're so busy trying to take care of everything with their family. They can't ever do the will of God. They can't do God's will. Because they can't. I have to take care of all this stuff. I gotta look after it. I gotta be the one that takes care of everything. And God taught me through all this. I can take care of your family. You just use your faith. I'll do the stuff that needs to be done. That's not your job. You just use your faith, and I'll take care of the stuff. It's like He got me over to things where I could say, you know, He can do this thing. He can take care of it. He can look after us. He can provide the things that we need. If He don't, I don't have to serve Him. Well, I serve somebody and He don't take care of His part. And He brought me the place. He had to mature me there to take me through that. Well, see, people who ain't gone there, they can't tell you how to get there. People who haven't been through it can't tell you where to go. You know, a guy who ain't never been to India, he might show you on a map. But I'll tell you what, he couldn't get there himself without a map. I'll tell you what, there's places I can go because I've walked them, man. I've been there. I've lived these things. I know how the road goes. And so that's what you want to know. There's one thing to have it down, you know, written on a map. There's another thing if I've been to travel there. It's a whole different story. And to travel there, to put him in. You know, we look at the, think about the Apostle Paul. You know, the opening to his ministry. Jesus tells him, yeah, I've called you. You know, you're gonna, I'm going to show you him all the things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. It's like, what? Wow, this is, I want this ministry. Glory to God. I can't wait to be an apostle. Oh, this is going to be wonderful. But you know what? Through the things that Paul went through is why Paul ended up writing a third of the New Testament, over two-thirds of the New Testament. He wrote it. Because he lived it. He didn't write down stuff that he ain't done. He's writing stuff that he knows that works. He's lived. He's walked through this. He's been through the hard places. He knows. And he can help people through the hard spot because he was in the hard spot. It ain't nothing worse than somebody sitting around, he ain't never been through hard spots, telling somebody else about the hard spot, telling them what they ought to do. Dear Lord, if you ain't ever been through nothing, keep your blabber shut. You know, you've been through the hard spot, it's like, man, then you can help people that are in the hard spot, and that's what you want to do. And God taught me, you know, for over 20 years, The Lord would not allow me to have anybody lay hands on to pray for me for healing or anything like that. He wouldn't allow anybody to. The only people he had lay hands on me was Brother Hagin and that stuff concerning the anointing and some different things and stuff like that. But he'd tell me, no, you stand. You stand. You stand. You stand. I just thought, well, let's all these other people go do this stuff. But I started to understand after I grew up a little bit, started to understand. It's so I can teach people how to get it when there's nobody around to lay hands on you. They have to know how to do it. And if you've never done it, and I know people, and they're trying to tell people to do stuff, but they've never done it. Ministers, I mean, just going to Rhema. I mean, I almost fell over going to Rhema. I tell you, at first at Rhema, I was going to come home. I thought, because, I mean, we had ministers in the church there at Rhema. I mean, been in the ministry for years, in the ministry in there. They're teaching people faith. And every little sneeze, their kids went to the doctor. Every little thing, every burp, you know, anything that happened. Oh, my God, get your kid to the doctor. And I'm thinking, you people can't believe God for nothing. You don't even try to believe God for anything. You talk about believing God, but you don't know nothing about believing God. And I thought, this is crazy. And from really many people, they had all kind of knowledge and understand, but they didn't know how to live and walk. And I told some of them, I said, you know, you guys know more about the Bible than we do, but I said, where I come from, we live better lives than you guys. Well, it's people, we need to understand. There's this thing of this walk that we have, and let's walk this walk. Let's live this walk. When Paul wrote in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 1, and again he wrote to the Romans, in the 12th chapter, in verse 1, and... He said to them there, he said in verse 1, I beseech you, again, look, I'm pleading with you guys. Therefore, he said, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, it's reasonable to control your body. It's reasonable. Now, you don't learn it overnight, but you know what? Through the tests and things of life, you can learn. If you'll allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, He'll teach you under pressure. That's, you know, it's under pressure where you have to learn. One of the greatest things that the Lord did in teaching me when I first got saved, because I was in the service, I'd been in the Army and in Vietnam and things, but the Lord told me one time He was going to take my military training and He was going to teach me from the Word and use my military training to teach me to stand and to walk. And I really... When he would take things about the scriptures and he would show me concerning things in the military and the areas about walking in faith and how you keep practicing. Just like this, he said, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And really, one of the things that they taught us in the military is, and this is it, this didn't have to do with being Christians. They taught us to keep our bodies under control. Concerning teaching you in combat, keep your body under control. Don't let your emotions and don't do things by your emotions. Follow your training. Man, that's what you do in the Bible. You follow the Word of God. You do what the Word of God says. You run into a circumstance, you do what the Bible says. You keep walking. They would tell you. They would train you to do things. See, they would go out over and over again. And here's one thing. See, we're in a society today that hates any kind of repetition. You know, we like something new every 20 minutes. You know, we got to have something new. It's got to be something different, something changed. But in military training, what they do is they take basic things and you just keep doing them all the time. Oh my God, they take them over and over and over again. We would, I was in communications, a microwave systems technician, and we were stationed in Fort Huachuca, Arizona. We were in the first fuel, the STRATCOM unit, which was Strategic Communications Command. We were hold plenty of sense anywhere in the world. If any kind of thing happened anywhere, we went to war. We were one of the first units to go in to set up communications and all that stuff. We would even go in ahead of a lot of the infantry and all that kind of stuff, because without communications, the rest of it don't work. So you would go in to set up communications, and that's what our job was. And all as we did all the time while I was there is do nothing but train on setting up sites. They'd take us out. We would go out. They'd take us out in the desert, go take it out in the desert, and go set up sites. And that's when you get all the communications, every set thing set up. You had a certain amount of time that you had to get your communications equipment in, get your dishes up, your antennas, everything running up and going, have all the communications run. As soon as you did, you tore it down. They'd take you back in, you'd take all the equipment in and clean it all up, get everything put away and all the stuff. The next day, up, haul you out someplace else, take you up on a mountain somewhere, do something, take you up, setting up, tearing down. That's all we did. So all we did is our equipment, setting up, tearing down, setting up, tearing down. Why? If something happened, you're ready to go when you know how to do it. Well, during that time when I was in 1962, the Russians moved into Czechoslovakia. So that big thing blew up over there. They really sort of thought we were going to war. Our unit had to get ready for it. And we had to have so many hours. We had to be sitting and have all our equipment going out into Tucson. They have an air base there with where the airport and stuff is, and also have a military air base there and that stuff. And so they took us into Tucson, and because we had to be in there, have all our equipment together, all everything up, ready to fly, to go out in a certain amount of time. And, because of all that training, getting the equipment, moving one place to the other, man, we had everything, man, loaded up, ready to go, ready for the airplanes. We were in and gone ahead of time. We're sitting at the airfield. We have all of our equipment ready to be shipped. We're all ready to go. See, all that training all the time, when something happens, you're ready. If you don't stay trained on stuff, that's why I always tell people, you know, concerning healing and things like that, you want to stay trained. If you don't learn to train yourself, if you're not self-disciplined, you're going to have a hard time as a Christian. But understand this, you will in life too. If you're not a disciplined person, you'll have a hard time in life. You'll face a lot more difficulties than people who are disciplined. And the Lord taught me from my military training, He said one of the greatest things was discipline. He said they need discipline. See, Paul said, told us we're supposed to be good soldiers. Soldiers are disciplined. Soldiers only have one master. But see, we need to understand these things. Paul said it's a requirement of those things. It's required of us, these things. And see, for Christians to be successful, we have to learn, because, you know, we don't have somebody over us all the time, out here in life all the time, telling us to, you know, to live right, to do right. You have to learn to do it to yourself. You have to learn to judge yourself and deal with yourself and set yourself to do things, even though you don't want to, is to set yourself into practice, using your faith, doing things. And it's required of us, really, is to be good soldiers, and that, why? To keep our bodies under. You know, we had going to Vietnam and that kind of stuff. You know, you don't want a bunch of whining and crying, bunch of little babies running around, when the shooting starts. You don't want them. Why? Because they'll get you killed. And in real life, it's the same way. It's exactly the same way in real life. People who can't handle things get other people in lots of troubles and cause a lot of trouble because of people who can't control themselves under situations. They can't control themselves. You have to learn to do that. You have to learn to keep your cool when you don't want to keep your cool. You have to learn how to do those things. Those are part of what you have to learn to maintain yourself, to keep yourself, so you can make right decisions. Why? Because we want our decisions are going to produce fruit. They're going to produce things. And so you learn to be, you know, like a good soldier is. And You know, that this one of the things that I used to say all the time. I'd say every Christian ought to have to go into the military a couple years. Every Christian should have to learn to go in and listen to somebody and can't do what they want to do for at least 2 years. Somebody else tell them to do. Because I said it would help them out immensely for following God. See, God won't make you do like, say, concerning. I had a choice with God. If I didn't want to obey Him, I had a choice. I didn't have a physical man standing over me, but I had a choice of whether I wanted to obey it or not. Whether I was going to listen to it or not. And you have to learn to discipline yourself. And that's one of the things that He taught me in training those things. And I used to, back years ago, I used to run a lot. And I used to go out and run every day. And the Lord took the things of running, and He told me, He said, I'm going to show you in running. He said, I'm going to teach you through running how to turn off your flesh, paying attention to your flesh, and run. I'm going to show you how to do it. Because most people, you know, and I found this out over the years. Most people have trouble with exercise and running or something like that. And they say, well, I just can't run. The whole thing is they can't get their mind off their flesh. That's why. Because your flesh can get really loud to you if you don't learn how to stop it, to make it quiet. If you can't keep your flesh quiet, your flesh will dominate you and tell you all these things you can't do. And all the things that it hates. And I found out I can make my flesh do things it thought it could never do. But it could do it. But the Lord started teaching me. He said, you got to learn. He's just like your military training. He said, you had training. You had to think a certain way. Under combat, they would teach. And what they'd do is they'd take us out and train us to do certain things. And they would, you know, set off explosions, hit us with gas, do all kinds of things. They do all these things to irritate you. They do all these things to make it difficult for you. But you had a certain thing. You know, you had certain goals you had to reach. Now, to reach those goals, you had to do them with all this other junk going on. So they had to train you to keep doing what's the right thing to do, even though all this other stuff was happening, which sometimes, I mean, was very unpleasant. I mean, going on, and you're out there and you're sweating like crazy down in Georgia, and they're hitting you with CS gas, and man, it burns your skin. It just, you know, it's real fun. And, you know, you're doing this stuff, but you have to keep doing your thing. You can't stop and say, oh my God, you know, I gotta, my skin's burning. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do. And they keep after you, keep training you in this till you get to the point where you do it. Where after a while that stuff's going on, the sooner I can get this done, the sooner I can get out of this situation. As soon as I get this thing done, well, you get yourself set. Well, the Lord told me, He said, I'm gonna teach you how to do something. And so the Lord would give me a scripture to meditate on. I would go out and run, and sometimes I could run 10 miles. I wouldn't remember most of the run. I wouldn't remember running past things or any stuff. I'd run the run, and when I'd get back, I wasn't even tired. I'd go out and run. And it was really interesting because, I was getting close to about 50 years old where I ran the fastest runs that I ever had. I hit about 50 years old. And you know what? It was because I'd sit and I wouldn't be thinking about running. I'd go out. I had the thing which just became one of the most interesting things to me in my life because of all the things that I'd pray and seek God and God would talk to me. I could go out and run, and almost every time I ran, God would speak to me about something and show me something while I was running. And if anything, you'd think that wouldn't work to be quiet. I could get quiet running. I could get quiet. But He taught me how to do it. In a situation where it seems like you couldn't be, you can hear from God. I have never been in one serious situation in my life where, even at times where, even life-threatening, where God didn't speak to me. Never one time. God speaks to people, but they can't hear Him. He'll speak. They can't hear Him. They can't get quiet. And He trains you to do that, so no matter what's going on around you, you don't become the person who loses it. You're the person with the answer. That's what you want to be. You want to be the person with the answer. And that's what God wants to bring us through. There's nothing, you know, better than knowing, and you get to the place where you went through a difficult time in life, and really, God has kept you under control the whole time, and you knew what was going on, and you had it held together. There's no greater satisfaction than that. And there's nothing worse than falling apart in it and being a problem in the situation rather than an aid. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse. And God will train you. I didn't have none of that in my notes, but the Holy Ghost led that way. But it's good. Allow God to train you. Allow God to work in you because there's the areas of faith. He'll take you to a place where you can walk in faith. If you can learn to walk these things, You know, I often thought about it. Paul sat in a dungeon in a Roman prison. And he wrote letters encouraging people and talking about, oh, you know, God's so good. And yeah, he's just like, oh my God. Well, he knew a few things. He understood some stuff. His flesh wasn't dominating him. He was in charge. He's sitting down in the prison and all these guys think they're running the show and this guy's running the show. This guy, he reached more people from a prison than most ministers will ever reach anybody out of a prison. It's amazing. And so to me, like, Paul was always a champion. It was the fact and reason Paul was a champion. It wasn't his great revelations. It's what he was able to live under the circumstances. When he writes down all the time he was beat and all that stuff, he never writes a letter critical. It's like, oh man, you just guys don't understand how bad it is to be out here in the ministry. Man, if I'm going to complain in the ministry, I would have a lot of nerve. Not after reading what Paul was through. If he didn't complain, Ed ain't got no right to. So, you know, but there's one thing, is I learned through these things, and you know what? Paul was able to teach Ed something because of what he went through. If he hadn't gone through it, you know, I'm so tired of people trying to teach people stuff and they don't know a thing about it. All they have is some information from the Bible. But I'll tell you what, I had practical experience of living things, and it wasn't because Ed decided that way. God said that's the way it works. I wanted to be qualified to teach somebody something, and the Lord said to do that, you have had to go through something. You don't qualify. That's why our schools are so messed up today, because our teachers are not qualified to teach. They never went through nothing. They spent all their life in education. They've never worked at nothing. They've never done nothing. They've never done a thing. They have no experience at life. And they're trying to teach people stuff, but they have no experience. Most math teachers in schools have no idea if math really works or not. All it is information passed off. They've never worked on a job. You had to use it. Somebody gave them a formula. They don't know how to figure out a formula. Big deal. What's it used for? Ain't got a clue. If you get somebody that knows how to use it, it's like what that's used for makes a big difference. Makes a huge difference. And so we need that today. And God wants you to experience that these things that he puts in this book that are true, they'll produce for you. That you don't have to be afraid in life, that he'll take care of you. I don't care what situation you get in or what happens, he'll take care of you. If you trust him, he'll look after it. He'll do everything he said he would do. He wants you to come to the place that you can look others in the face and they doubt the word, say, look, it's true. If it says the book, I live through it. I know God will do it. This is what he did for me. Not, well, you know, I heard a story about so-and-so over here. My good, okay, Tom, tell somebody else's story. But you need some of your own. You need your own stories of what God does to tell people, hey, now hold it. This is what God did. Here's what he'll do. There's nothing, yeah, I tell you what, you can't beat experience. You can't beat it. Can't beat experience. And God led me through lots of experiences, but those experiences he led me through taught me to trust him. Taught me with my family that he'll take care of my family. He said he would. But you know what? It's one thing for him to say that he would, but he wanted to prove to me he would. I wouldn't walk around all my life with the nagging in the back of my mind, he ain't going to do it, because it's always going to limit my faith. That no matter what happens, he's going to take care of things. He's going to look after stuff. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's close there. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. Father, we taught these things, and Father God, we shared these things because of your great goodness and your great mercy and your great kindness. And I want to thank you, Father, that you're taking us to a place of faith, a place to walk in these last days. Lord God, you sent Kenneth Hagin and you put him in this earth and you told him to teach his people faith, to get them ready for your return. And I thank you, Father God, when you come back, Jesus shows up, he's going to find people full of faith, confidence. Hallelujah. Trust in him, carrying out his will and his purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. I thank you, he's going to be glorified and magnified in the church. Father, I thank you for the glorious church. Father, I thank you it is a church without spot or wrinkle. And Father God, I want to thank you for the good work that you started in us, because you will bring it into completion to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.